After all, I'm just human. What does that mean? On this episode of Inverse.
Coming to you from Silver Spring, Maryland, welcome to Inverse, a Bible-based conversation on life principles, contemporary issues, and thought-provoking perspectives. Now here's your host, Justin Kim, with Inverse.
Hi everyone, my name is Justin Kim, and you're watching Inverse, and in the studio with me is Jonathan Sebastian and Callie, and we are talking about biblical sexuality. It's a sensitive topic, and we want to encourage you that if you have minors in your area, to be mindful of the topic matter, and to do whatever you got to do with them in the room. So we're going to talk about this topic. It's very important. We believe in the primacy of Scripture, and Scripture talks about these principles of sexuality, and if you have not been with us in the past couple weeks, we want to encourage you to go to hopetv.org/inverse and catch up on previous episodes, but also go to inversebible.org and download our Bible study guides, not just on biblical sexuality, but on Daniel and all the other books of the Bible that we're planning to put up online. So let's go to Genesis chapter 2, verse 18 to 25, and before we do so, I'm going to ask Callie, can you pray for us?
Absolutely. Father in heaven, we thank you for the gift that it is to be here right now and to study your word together. We don't come to this topic confident in ourselves, but we come confident in who you are, confident that you desire to teach us through your word, confident that you desire to give us your spirit. And so we pray that you fill us with your spirit now, guide us into all truth, just as you promised, and I pray that you guide our conversation, that it may be uplifting, that it may be beneficial, and that we all be drawn closer to you through the process. We ask and pray all this in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, we have been covering different topics from episode to episode, but there seems to be five principles that emerge when it comes to biblical sexuality. One is the goodness of sexuality, the difference of sexuality, the sameness, the oneness, and the two-ness. When you take these five principles and you kind of combine them, you get really good parameter, good vicinity of what the Bible is talking about, and for that optimal premium sexual experience that God has designed. You take one of these principles out, then you get into some other form of sexuality that at least in the New Testament, does often not condone. So today we're going to look at the principle of sameness in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18 to 25. And Jonathan, can you read that for us?
Sure. It says, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to all cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother, and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed."
All right, Sebastian, share with us the principle of sameness. How can we mine that? How can we mine that out of this passage here?
Well, what we see is God is bringing animals to God, to Adam.
Mm-hmm.
And as he's bringing these animals to Adam, as Adam is looking at these animals and naming them, he notices that they each have a comparable partner.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So there's a monkey, and there's a monkey wrist, there's a lioness, right? There's an ape, there's
a monkey wrist.
Monkey wrist.
Okay.
I just made that up.
Okay. I was like, did I miss something?
I did not miss anything.
I'm
going to add that to Webster's Dictionary.
Okay.
So each one had a corresponding partner. And the Bible says that Adam noticed there was no one comparable to him.
Yes.
So what we immediately see is that this marital relationship that is the very context for which physical intimacy is supposed to exist in the ideal of God had nothing to do with the objects of creation, had nothing to do with the animals of creation.
Mm-hmm.
This was simply to be shared between two human beings, right? One to whom Adam looked at and said, bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She experiences reality and life the same way that Adam does, on a physical level, on a spiritual level, on an intellectual level, and on an emotional level.
Mm-hmm.
So when we're talking about this concept of sameness, what we're saying is sexuality exists between two human beings.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the design that we see in God. And he purposely sees that naturally by naming the animals. That's your partner comparable to you. But this is now
mm-hmm.
bone of my bone, flesh
mm-hmm.
of my flesh.
Yeah, we'll look at the principle of differentness next week, and the differentness being there's a maleness and a femaleness.
Right.
And the principle of sameness, human and human. Mm-hmm. And although that might seem very, like, duh and intuitive, we're entering into a world where that's not so common sense anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And people can feel fulfilled with a animal companion, or not even an animal, but maybe even mechanical or an object or a technological companion. And we are in the era of sexual exploration, they call it.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to go back to the original manual to see what God has originally intended. Sally.
And even though we look at this text, we're kind of like, okay, we're like reading into this too much. Like, we're just bringing this principle out.
Mm.
But, you know, verse 18, it's the only time in the creation account
mm-hmm.
that the Lord God sees something and says, it's not good.
Yes.
So this is before Genesis 3, right? Sin isn't here yet, so we can't even blame sin. It's just the Lord God sees there's something incomplete, that there isn't a helper comparable.
Mm.
And it's so important that God himself looks at creation and says, this small thing is not good. Even though he is surrounded by the garden of pleasure, he's surrounded by all these different animals, these fruits, these vegetables, whatever, it's still not good, because he needs someone, not just a helper, but a helper comparable to him.
Right. Mm-hmm. On a fundamental level, God, obviously God knows this, but he also helps Adam realize,
yes,
I need someone, I was created for companionship with someone who is like me.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I have a relationship with God. Yes, I have a relationship with the animals, with nature, mm-hmm. connection. But there is something missing. And God makes sure that Adam realizes his need before mm-hmm. he gives him his partner. But on a fundamental level, Adam had to realize this and recognize that God always wanted him to mm-hmm. have someone else, because God created us in his image, and God is a social being.
Mm-hmm.
In the same way, we were designed to connect on a deeper level with creatures that are like us,
mm-hmm.
meaning humans. Yes, it's great to have a pet. You know, I have a cat. I love my cat. But other people love their dogs, right, Kelly? But, you cannot compare that, as you said, you cannot compare that to the connection that you can have with another human being.
Mm-hmm.
As you said, it's kind of like, obviously,
mm-hmm.
but God has put a lot of purpose and intention into the creation of humanity as a reflection of God.
Let's explore that a little bit. And I know a lot of this is common sense,
mm-hmm.
but I surmise that this will not become so common sense as time continues.
That's right.
Yeah. Why is it so important to have a human-to-human interaction?
Mm-hmm.
What is it about the human being, the identity of the human being? What is it about the definition of human nature that differentiates itself from animals,
mm-hmm.
right?
Genesis 1. Whose image are we created in?
Okay.
Yeah, Genesis 1. Genesis 1:26.
1:26, yes.
Mm-hmm. Then God said, let us make man in our image. Not let us make all the creatures in our image. Let's make the monkeys. Let's make the giraffe. No. Let us make man in our image according to our likeness.
Mm-hmm.
And let's have dominion and so on. And then verse 27, so God created man in his own image.
Mm-hmm.
In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them.
Mm-hmm.
So there is something different, and you know, sometimes different people like to break down the barriers. So we're literally just like the animals.
Mm-hmm.
We are just a different kind of animal. That's it. But in the Bible, in the very first chapter, God's like, no, definitely not even the same thing at all.
Mm-hmm.
And you even have dominion over them.
Mm-hmm.
So I think when you get into that kind of mixing, it literally mars the character. It mars the image of God
mm-hmm.
that he's created us to mimic.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, to build off of this, on the other side of the coin is that Adam not only existed with animals, right, but he also existed with the Almighty.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
He had interaction with God.
Yes.
And yet God said there was a loneliness there.
Mm-hmm.
So we can even look on the other side that people are like, yeah, just me and Jesus, right, which we understand in terms of singleness, it is a gift, and it is something that you can be fulfilled. But in terms of God's ideal in creation, he recognized that this is not going to yield perfect happiness, according to my plan.
Mm-hmm.
And so even just having dialogue with Jesus and that relation with Jesus was insufficient for what God's ideal was for Adam.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you look at the human-to-human interaction on the intellectual, emotional, and spiritual level that you cannot share. You may be able to connect with an angel on a spiritual level.
Mm-hmm.
You may be able to connect with an animal on a physical level, but and even with God on a completely other level. But as a human being, we are able to connect on every single dimension of who we are.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what God intended, because that's the relationship he exists with in the Trinity relationship.
Mm-hmm.
That unity, they connect on every single level and design of their existence.
I was going to go somewhere else, but I want to probe that statement you just said. It's a wonderful statement. And every level, what are some of those levels, Sebastian? In every area, what are those areas? Because often we don't define what it means to be a human,
yeah.
or we have a low estimate of what humanity really is.
Yeah.
Like say, oh, the dog and me, we're actually the same entity according to evolutionary biology, so if God doesn't exist and God doesn't, there's no overarching ethic about how I should behave, what's so wrong with me and this canine, right? And that is where society does go into some parts of
perverse
the world. Perverse, yeah. So let me ask you, what are some of those areas? What are some of those levels?
Well, let's start off with the fact that when God created man in Genesis 2, earlier in the chapter, in verse 7, it says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being," or soul.
Yes.
So this automatically gives you that there's a physical dimension to being human, right? The body, the anatomy, the physiology.
Yes.
But then there's also a non-physical component, right, which we may classify as the intellect, the emotion, and on a spiritual level.
Yes.
So when you combine all of those, you have a human being.
Yes.
Right? And so you can imagine that having a human being that doesn't have a spiritual dimension is going to impact that intimacy and connection.
Yes.
And I saw this when I was in college and I was just on my way to giving my life to the Lord. I remember there was a young lady that I was interested in before I started studying the Bible. And then finally when I surrendered through baptism and now I'm walking with the Lord, I met this girl again. On campus where I was baptized, and I was trying to invite her out to this evangelistic series, and throughout this experience she says, I'm trying to invite her, and she calls me on the phone and she says, "Sebastian, does everything you talk about have to be about God?" And I was shocked, and I was literally like, you know what, this relationship can't continue.
Mm.
And so I terminated it because we couldn't connect on that level.
Mm. Sebastian, hold that thought. When we come back after the break, we're going to continue our discussion on defining human nature. So stay with us.
Has Inverse been a blessing to you? Do you have questions, comments, or feedback you'd like to leave us? Find us on social media by searching Inverse Bible on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or YouTube. While there, join us, like us, heart us, thumbs up us. Our handle again is Inverse Bible, no spaces. Now, back to the discussion.
Welcome back. We're in the middle of Sebastian's story where he terminated, or he didn't terminate, she terminated a relationship, or he terminated. Well, let's look at what he said.
Well, first of all, let's be clear. I terminated the relationship.
Okay.
Anyway, I've not been dumped, at least not at that point in my life.
Tired of this spiritual focus of the relationship.
It immediately became clear and sadly clear to me that she and I were not able to connect on something that had now become central to who I was. There was a part of my human nature and experience that had been activated by the gospel.
Mm.
And now we weren't able to connect on that level.
Mm.
And so you realize that, yeah, could we have physical intimacy? Could we intellectually connect on business or whatever we were studying at the time, economics?
Mm.
Or could we have connected on an emotional level? But because of that removal of the spiritual, this directly impacted God's ideal for marital sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sure. And I think that's important because sometimes we compartmentalize.
Yes.
And we could say, like, well, so what? Maybe Sebastian just wants to have an intellectual and sexual partner. Like, why does he have to share his spirituality?
Mm-hmm.
But it's because that's not like one third of who he is or one fifth or whatever. Like, it's who he is completely.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that you were trying to talk to this person. You're like, oh, I want to like share Jesus all the time. I want to convert her. You're like, that's just a natural natural outflow of who I am at this point.
Exactly.
So if she's getting that from you, it's clear you're not on the same wavelength anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we compartmentalize, we can sometimes trick ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, when we're Christians completely.
Yes. Yes. And Callie, to your point, right, imagine the reverse, right? What if we switched it and we said, you are not able to connect with a person on a physical level.
Mm-hmm.
We think you should go to therapy, right? And say, why is it you guys can't be physically intimate? Or you're not able to connect on an emotional level. He doesn't understand my needs. He doesn't understand I need affection or attention. We'd say you need to go to therapy and counseling.
Mm-hmm.
So
spiritual, that's fine.
Right, that's irrelevant. And it
yeah.
just goes to show you the world's attitude towards God and his ideal and also what's being missing by that compartmentalization and just
mm-hmm.
saying, I'll take what I can get.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What's very interesting is like the Bible, although it reveals much about God and how about God saves humanity, it is also a definitional revelation of who we are.
Yeah.
100%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That whoever God is, we are a reflection of him, so we discover more about who we are and whether we have an intellectual side or not, whether we have a spiritual side or not, who we are as a physical person.
That's right.
And in a relationship, if we just access, you know, as you said, I love that, one third or two thirds,
yeah.
in a sense, we're just using that person for their intelligence or their physical or their whatever,
yep.
rather than accepting them for their entirety.
You're essentially objectifying them,
yes,
which is exactly what this principle is trying to address. You can't have that intimacy with a physical object or a screen,
yes.
or a doll, a mannequin doll that looks like the perfect woman that you want, and say, well, the reality is, whatever that guy is doing with that doll is the same thing that he's doing with a human being if he doesn't embrace the full part of who that person
mm-hmm.
is.
Mm-hmm.
It's just an objectification.
Yes, it's just something. Yeah, no, I really like that. I've been listening. I've been really blessed with that. But you said, Callie, about the compartmentalizing. We do that all the time,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
subconsciously, consciously, whatever it is.
Mm.
But it is so true that every aspect, everything that makes us human is connected to everything else. We are, that's what we are. We are not just, you know, little particles that put together. We are what we are, the whole thing together. And another aspect that makes us human is the purpose that God has for us. If we can go to Isaiah real quick, Isaiah 43.
Mm-hmm. Isaiah 43 and here verse 7.
Says here, God is speaking, everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory, I have formed him, yes, I have made him. God is here saying that the purpose that I have created humanity for is to glorify me. What does that mean? That means to, he wants humanity to reveal and reciprocate the love that God has, the love that God is, really. So there is a purpose that comes with being human, and that is to glorify God, to reveal who God is to others. And in the context of relationships, we see that only when a man, a human man, and a human female are in the marriage, you know, covenant,
mm-hmm.
And of course with Christ-centered relationship, they are able to reveal God in that relationship. So we are glorifying God. Kind of what we talked about in a previous lesson about the flame of Yahweh. We talked about God's glory, God's
mm-hmm.
presence, God's character being revealed
mm-hmm.
through relationships. So God has a purpose for humanity. He has a purpose for couples to reveal who he is.
Mm-hmm.
And that can only happen between two human beings, between
mm-hmm.
man and a woman. And that will not happen if, you know, with your relationship with your pet or with your relationship with your, you know, artificial intelligence on your phone.
To be fair to your point, Jonathan, mm-hmm. I remember reading a story about a man who discovered that his daughter had been engaging in explicit sexual content. And it was the first time that they were having a conversation about it.
Mm-hmm.
And his words came through his tears. And
mm-hmm.
he said, you know, you are the most beautiful thing in my life. And the idea that you could be subject to something like this broke his heart.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And it just goes to show you that some of the sexual expressions that exist in society, what that does to the heart of God.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the beauty, like, I created you for my glory.
Yes.
And so when you compartmentalize and say, we want physical intimacy with no emotional connection,
right,
you're literally breaking his heart. Like that father is just a glimmer of that.
Mm-hmm.
To say, you are the most beautiful thing in my life, right? That's the most beautiful stuff ever created.
Mm-hmm.
The crown of my glory on earth in creation.
Mm-hmm.
And for you to allow yourself to go through this sort of degrading experience, is just baffling,
mm-hmm,
right,
mm-hmm,
to God. And that's why I think the purpose of God,
yeah,
informing our sexuality and intimacy is so critical. And that's why I feel like this principle, while it may seem simple, brings the most profound commentary,
mm-hmm,
on society as it exists right now.
Mm-hmm. I want to go to maybe something quite obvious, but probably for me pretty profound. Especially Jonathan mentioned Isaiah 43:7, we are created for God's glory.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
If you can go to Psalms chapter 8 verse 3, the Bible says, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon, the stars, which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all the sheep and oxen, and the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our God, how excellent is your name in all the earth."
Mm-hmm.
It's very interesting that the human beings were made a little lower than the angels.
Mm-hmm.
And too often we say, well, I'm only human. We use that.
Mm-hmm.
And the connotation is, well, we're very low.
You shouldn't expect
so much.
Yeah.
Well, we can only do so much.
Mm.
But the reality is, God actually made us very high.
Yeah. Mm.
It is so much to the fact that we can do something that the angels cannot. Angels cannot reproduce. They were not given the ability for sexual intimacy, at least that we know of from current revelation.
I mean, right.
Maybe, I don't know.
let's not speculate.
But they're not, in Revelation, in Genesis 1, everything else in the universe, not even, everything on earth in the world is reproducing. Grass,
right,
more grass, bugs, more cows, mushrooms, more mushrooms. Angels ain't making more angels, right?
Mm-hmm.
But human beings have been given that capacity that God has,
yeah, right?
And so human interaction is just for a simple procreation. And as cold as that sounds,
mm-hmm,
we did talk about the sexuality, it includes pleasure, and that's, mm-hmm, that's a beautiful gift that God has given,
right,
but it's also to procreate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
One cannot, but a human and a machine cannot procreate more,
no,
you know, more cyborg. I'm going to that. Human and animal, obviously not, right?
Right.
And so we see here, with that, with children, with the ability to create more children, is also God's glory being revealed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When you look at God's glory, and you do a word study, it's really God's character. How do you see love? How do you see long-suffering, patience, sacrifice? These are all abstracts that you really can't see.
Mm-hmm.
You ask someone to draw a picture on it, you can't. We have a hard time even illustrating our Bible study guides. By which, you want to go to inversebible.org and download the Bible study guide. Anyway, we have a hard time illustrating this.
Yes,
but we illustrate. It's illustrated through people,
yes,
through relationships, through the family,
mm-hmm,
through children, through parents, through children, da da da. And that's just one reason why. You see the whole aspect about the human individual, but also for procreation, reveals God's glory.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And consider the fact that as my kids age, I begin to appreciate the journey that I had watching them become independent, autonomous beings.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So there, and to know that my wife and I share that, and that's something that makes us smile to look at our kids at a very young age and think, wow, they used to be that small, and now they're, you know, making their bed and having their devotion. And the crazy thing is, my oldest daughter came into my room this week, and she said, you know, Papa, I had a question about this in the Bible, and it was like a random text in Leviticus, and it was talking about how a woman needs to be separated and cleansed, whatever. And she was saying how it made her feel that because she had to separate longer, if she had a female child, that she as a female child was more unclean than a male child.
Oh, wow.
And she's like, I just don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
And she's 8, right? And so I'm like, okay, 6:30 in the morning, let me try to break this down for my daughter. And by the end of it, she's like smiling. She's like, okay, Papa, that makes a lot of sense. Like, I totally understand it now. I see it. And she's walking away and going to pray. And I overheard her, right, praying and thanking God that she had a papa who could help her understand the Bible better.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I'm thinking to myself, like, wow, like, and when I shared that with my wife, like, there's just that bonding connection, right, that we are two humans who produce another human,
mm-hmm,
who is able to grow and be an agent in the world.
Wow.
And somehow bring glory to God.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
So to me, that's where, if you violate that, like, you can't have that experience with a screen. You can't have that experience with an object, mm-hmm. right? You can only have that experience with another person,
mm-hmm.
especially in Christ.
Mm-hmm. 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 You know, one thing I like about the human-to-human interaction that we see in Genesis 1 is that we see the Godhead in Genesis 1, chapter 1, verse 26.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
God says, "Let us make man in our image."
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We see that Godhead is God the Father, God the Son,
yeah.
God the Spirit.
Yeah.
Three equals, and these three persons are love epitomized.
Yeah.
And as much love as there is with God and humanity, they're not equals. We are not on equal ground with God. Although some human beings may think they are, right? Or above. And so we have a human to with human relationship that God allows that equality to exist. Obviously, there are abuses that happen in that equality that we'll talk about next week in next week's episode. But equal to equal interaction is a prerequisite for sexual intimacy. A profound thought.
And that's why, like, being in the image of God as human, as we read the verse earlier, that is just when you really have to sink in, it's profound, and it will elevate the standing of marriage in your mind. If you if you struggle with marriage, think of what God has had in mind for you. That is a reflection of who He is, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. You can experience a glimpse of that in marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And how profound is marriage, really, when you think about it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Rather than being a constrictive element, it was a very protective element. So we want to encourage you to go to InverseBible.org and really download these Bible study guides and understand these principles of biblical sexuality. This is not casting judgment on the other the worlds out there and whatnot, but this is really looking at what has God intended and designed for human happiness and for optimal sexual experience. Hopefully this discussion has been a blessing to you. We want to encourage you to continue the conversation on social media through our social media handle of Inverse Bible, and let us know what you think. Let us know of your questions and comments, and share this episode and previous episodes and future episodes with everyone that you may know. Join us next week as we continue our discussion on biblical sexuality, especially as we look at the principle of differentness of maleness and femaleness and the genders here on Inverse. God bless you guys.
You've been listening to Inverse, a Bible-based conversation with Kelly Williams, Israel Ramos, Jonathan Walter, Sebastian Braxton, Siku Dako, and your host, Justin Kim. Inverse is brought to you by the Hope Channel, television that changes lives. For this and more inspiring episodes, visit inverse.hopetv.org. Find us on social media, #InverseBible. Until next time, this is Inverse.